This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
You have the right to feel safe at home, at work, at school, and in your relationship. But when you or someone you love is a victim of a serious crime, who can you go to for help? Transitions has been helping people who have experienced violence and abuse in Union, Snyder, and Northumberland counties for over 45 years.
That's Heather Schneider, Education Specialist with Transitions in Lewisburg. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we'll be talking about that today on the program. We will also be addressing how Transitions is functioning and helping folks in this era of the new coronavirus. Thanks for joining us on the program, Heather, to share this information with our listeners as we strive to keep everyone safe. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is normally a time of a lot of events going on, a lot of awareness. How does the pandemic affect that? Are you still trying to get the word out there in a different fashion?
Absolutely. We really did not want to neglect this very important month. And we're still continuing to do everything to the best of our ability that we can do as far as on social media, as far as independently while maintaining social distancing. There's a lot of activities that we are scheduled to have as many people as possible participate through Zoom meetings or just getting on our social media sites and posting specific information related to Sexual Assault Awareness Month. The theme this year for 2020, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, is I Ask. So we're talking a lot about consent. We're defining consent. We're sharing a lot of activities. Example, yesterday was the Day of Action, and we asked everybody to wear teal and just take a walk around your neighborhood and get yourself out and about, and then post yourself in your teal colors on our social media pages with the hashtag IAsk, or there's the other hashtags, which is hashtag teal, which is the ribbon color for the month, and then hashtag SAM, S-A-A-M, stands for Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
All right. And certainly, even within your organization, I mean, you guys are working out of different places, but does that mean you still have a shelter available for people in that sense?
Absolutely. We are still providing all the services that we did before the pandemic. So we still have, we're still operating our 24-hour hotline. We're still operating both safe house locations. We're still doing crisis intervention. If we're not able to provide services, we're doing referrals. We still have counseling going on, just not in person. Most times the counseling has to be through either telephone or through video conferencing type. Our housing advocates are still out there. Our legal advocates are still out there doing their jobs. We're still taking care of our clients to the best of our ability. The only thing that we're not able to do, of course, as educators, we're not in the school districts because the schools aren't open, but we're still trying to connect with the teachers that are teaching remotely, trying to connect with them to see if maybe there are some links that we can forward to the teachers that they would be able to forward on with homework assignments and things like that, giving families and the children a connection to our services, to things that may help and assist in abusive households in this time. Right now, our biggest worry is that people will not know that we're open for business. They may feel that, you know, we're one of those agencies that have shut down, which we have not. And we still want people to know that they're able to call us and we're able to provide information. Our biggest concern is the victims that are at home in isolation or in quarantine with their abusive partner or with their abuser and not being able to reach out to us. Most victims will give us a call when the person that's being abusive leaves to go to work or just leaves the house in general to go do whatever. And when you're quarantined and you have a stay-at-home order, that abuser's not leaving.
The numbers to these lines have actually declined because of this, correct?
That's correct. And one of the things we observed is there was a report that was out that the calls to Childline for child abuse is down. And that's because a lot of times it's your teachers, it's your school administrators that are making the phone calls to report suspected child abuse. And now with the schools not being in session, the teachers aren't seeing these children. They're not being in that environment where they're able to see things or be told things or, you know, have that feeling that something's happening where the call to Childline would be a necessity. So we're not having as many of those calls being made.
Seems like there's so many aspects to this for you guys. Certainly everybody was not prepared for this. I mean, some governments were not prepared for it. But what was your preparation at Transitions? Was this kind of a shift of your whole functioning? Was that kind of something that was in the back, or you had a plan? Because obviously you've kind of taken the ball and run with it with the new way of doing things.
Well, I have to tell you, from my personal perspective, we actually were ready for this, not realizing that what our training and what our technological advances were going to be used for. But as you know, we have really increased in size as far as the number of employees, and the number of duties and responsibilities have expanded greatly. We've added locations and sites for various employees to be working out of anyways. So we had already become very familiar with Zoom and several other technologies that would be able to keep us connected, even though we were working from so many different remote locations. So when this all started to really blow up, we really had a lot of this already in place, where we were just told, you know, take what you can, and those who can work at home can work at home. Those who can work from home and work from the office, maintaining social distancing, keeping track of everything, being able to provide these services, working with a lot of local businesses that would be able to accommodate individuals needing safe house. It really just all fell into place for us. I really have to give our top administration credit for really being able to keep us all on an even keel and make sure that we had everything that we needed at our disposal to be able to continue to provide the high quality of services that our three counties have become accustomed to.
Can you give some advice to people who are in need? I mean, that it is a whole different picture now for, you know, getting help. But what do you, any tips you can give to people out there that need the help? And, you know, obviously they can know you're there, but they have to be able to reach you. What should they do? What's the best way to handle that?
Well, in some cases, sometimes if a person's able to get out of the house themselves, I'm going to take a walk, I need some fresh air, I have to go to the store, maybe there's a time when they are distancing themselves from this unhealthy environment, and they're able to utilize that time to call our hotline, which is 1-800-850-7948. And they can make that call. They can ask for assistance. They can ask any question. We'll try to help them as best we can. Also, on the flip side of that is if you're a person living in a neighborhood and you're taking a walk and you might witness something or hear something in a household as you're passing, there might be something that's going on. There might be a family that you know that you need to pay particular attention to. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and make a call to report something that is suspicious or sounds very threatening or sounds very violent. And a lot of times we're talking to parents and caregivers that are still around children to talk to your kids about safety. Talk to your kids about when they're out and about and what is appropriate and what's inappropriate. Continue to have those conversations. Be able to pick up on things that if you're still someone that's caring for someone's child who has to go into work because they're an essential employee, you know, if their behavior is changing, or if they're not wanting to be left alone with a certain person, or they're trying to avoid certain things at certain times, and they're acting a bit differently, sure, there are going to be different things going on because of the circumstances just in general. But pay a little bit closer attention to the body language of these victims and be able to pick up on something that you might need to even just be a listening ear for someone to, you know, have a place, safe place to go to talk. And always self-care is extremely important. Make sure you're getting enough sleep. Try to get some exercise. Make sure you're trying to eat right, because right now, you know, the stories are out that everybody's doing bored eating, where you're just so bored, or you know, you're cooped up and the only thing you have to do is eat. Just maintain a healthy diet and try to get some time to relax. And then we have some other activities where another one of our education specialists, Nicole, is going to read a book, and the title is C is for Consent, and that's going to be pre-recorded so that anybody at any time after April 20th can look at our Transitions of PA Facebook page and log on to Nicole reading this book. So it's kind of a story time for kids to still be able to get a message and understand what consent is and what safety precautions we're still trying to put out there. Then on the 23rd, we usually have a large gathering with Take Back the Night. And so we're going to try to do that on social media, either through Facebook Live or through Zoom. I'm not quite sure how that's, we're still in the planning process of that, but we're still going to try to pull that together and try to see if we can't get some individuals to log on and all celebrate the survivors, pay tribute to victims who are still going through this, to give them hope and to remember the victims who are no longer with us. And then we have a global campaign that we participate in every April, and this one is April 29th. It's called Denim Day. And I think we might have talked about this a little bit before, but Denim Day is something that started in Italy, actually, and it was in the 1990s, where a 45-year-old driving instructor was accused of rape of an 18-year-old student. And he had her drive to a remote location, and at which point he sexually assaulted her. Now, this did go to trial, and he, the perpetrator, was convicted and was incarcerated. But after a bit, he decided to appeal that, and his defense was that because she was wearing very tight jeans at the time and had to assist with removing those jeans, that ultimately gave him consent. And so the Supreme Court of Italy agreed and overturned the conviction, and the perpetrator was set free. So this first came into California, where our leaders, our Supreme Court leaders and judicial system people wanted to show support for victims who had similar situations to this and were really feeling as though they were being re-victimized by their perpetrators obviously going free. And so they started to wear jeans and denim to show their support. And it eventually went across the globe, where now it's celebrated as an international campaign, where we're all showing support for those who have been in that similar situation. And it wasn't until 2008 that the court overturned its findings that there is no longer a denim defense to the charge of rape. So this underscores the importance of consent.
And if you want to repeat the number, folks can call one more time and you know,
social media ways they can stay in touch as well?
Sure. All of this is available, our services and all the information pertaining to the events and activities for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. You can view all this on our website, which is www.transitionsofpa.org, or on our Facebook. When you go to facebook.com and you search Transitions of PA, we'll have a whole list of events and what we're doing to celebrate Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Again, the hashtags are hashtag teal for the ribbon color for the month, hashtag SAM, capital S-A-A-M, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and of course the theme, which is hashtag I Ask.
Thanks for being with us on the program, Heather. Heather Schneider has been our guest on the program today, talking about transitions, talking about Sexual Assault Awareness Month and events being conducted virtually by that organization. And as you heard, Heather also had a lot to say about how transitions is transitioning to this new reality of COVID in which we're living. Thanks to each of our listeners for being with us on today's WPGM Community Forum. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.